Okay,
so
yeah, this is, I don't know how I've
found it.
Yes, it's really stretching. This is one of the box of the rarities that I brought from home.
And it's like an archival box with metal corners.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's archival, it's awesome. So I don't know how I found about this guy. It's just comes across. I was looking at him for a while, and I was on eBay, like looking stuff, or like on Book Finder, but like all the books are really expensive.
Yeah.
And one day I just decided, okay, let's just go to the Ivan Karp Gallery, because this is where he used to do all these shows.
Yeah.
And Ivan Karp is dead, but I can go there and it's just try to see if I can find some of these books.
Yeah.
So I went there and I met with his widow.
Wait, did you email in advance?
No, I just went there.
Oh, wow. You just like happened to go there and the widow was there.
Yes.
Wow.
She was at the desk.
And, okay.
No, we don't have nothing. I just want to see them. Mm-hmm. No, it's just to see. Okay, we have some copies to see. Okay, so go there to the. They took me to the room, and they display like about 12 books.
Yeah.
And I spent like, I don't know, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I was laughing and I just was having fun.
Right.
And then I don't know, maybe she thought it was strange. I spent so much time looking at these materials.
Yeah, right.
And then she came to me and in the end says, look, I still have some copies available and I can sell them for $10 each one. Yeah. And this is part of my collection. So, like the most of my books are from this situation. I bought it from her, and then I just bought another one once in from a bookshop in Rome.
Okay.
And but was also not very expensive. And this card set, Holy Holy, I found it on eBay. You see, loosely part.
Okay. Yeah. Let's look. Let's explain this. So this is This is a box approximately the size of your telephone, that is that you, two-sided box. You open it up, and then inside of it are a bunch of baseball card-esque cardstock. It's like a 100-pound cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, uncoated.
It's like a business card.
Yeah. And then on one side there's an image of like what would be a saint or a
It's a very common, like in Europe, I don't know here, but it's a common, like people carrying these saints in their wallets.
Oh, right.
With the prayer in the back.
The prayer.
But the prayer. So, but instead of a prayer like Clarence Oldenburg, he has like a statement by him or some
quote
related to him. And this is kind of, so it took the format of this kind of cards with saints that people carry with them so they can feel protected, and they carry them in their wallets and like they are like protected forever. But here is like with artists.
Art cards.
Yeah.
Fancy assorted Christmas selection.
Exactly.
Is what this is called.
Yeah. And
so maybe we'll, okay, so Lucy Lepard looks very beautiful here, and on the back it says the study of pop culture growing out of Pelosi's spontaneous enjoyment of it is to aid in the fabrication of idols or gods. Cool. All right. Katz, Johns, Warhol. Wow, they're beautiful.
Yeah,
so many of them. As far as you know, is this the only unbound edition by the artist?
He did another. actually did more two card sets.
Oh, he did two other card sets?
Of football and...
Really?
Yes. And that's... I don't remember the name. But those ones are more expensive.
What year was this one at? Do you know?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So, let me see what you have. This okay. is not him.
Well, that's not him. Okay.
This is also not him.
Okay, so in this archival box that's presumably from Gaylord, Ricardo is now unfolding numerous folders. Oh, wait, where is it from?
I don't know. Actually, this one, the box is, was, it's a sample by Archival Products.
They sent it
for free.
What?
Yeah, I just asked a sample and they sent tons of boxes.
Good one, good one.
And I was like, I might buy something, but they really sent me tons of stuff. So this is the Olympics of Art. It's one of my favorites.
Okay.
This is really good because it's so, it plays with so much irony.
Okay, I'm just gonna grab my ruler here.
Yeah. This is like fantastic.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it's really, this is the only one.
This is, so it's like 9 inches on the long side, and then 5.5 high, and it's bound on the short edge. Yeah.
On this combo.
Yeah, it's like a comb binding.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the paper is like, oh yeah, it's glossy, it's coated, and I'm imagining like a 60-pound coated stock, and it's printed black throughout. One-sided black throughout, and on the front cover it says Olympics of Art, and that is like, I don't know, all caps, in like a Helvetica bold, a 1974 edition. Okay, nice, good price, pretty good price.
Yeah.
You got this in Europe then?
Yeah, in this bookshop in Italy. But actually, this was the most expensive book I bought from him.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't like to buy expensive books. It's such a... I'd rather to sell them.
So what do you believe to be the ideas behind this work?
So the idea here, it's kind of, he's just making fun with all these people. So you could start reading.
Yeah. Richest artist in the world.
Marc Chagall.
So, best dancer dealer.
Sidney Janet. So it's kind of, it starts to get very funny. Worst artist of an artist's father, Emily Gauguin. Yeah, it's
really wow, funny. Cutting, huh? Yeah. Most flowers painted by an artist.
Andy Warhol.
Oh, wow. This is the slowest changing exhibition in history.
The Free Collection.
Most available restroom in a gallery. Okay, Harris Gallery.
That is the guy who published all these books.
Yeah, that's his book. Yeah.
And actually, when I went there, I asked her. So he was just publishing these books. But so I even asked, so as a commercial kind of situation, it would be like not very successful.
Yeah.
Because they are just books, they are not art. And she said, well, usually we'll publish a book. Come here.
Yeah.
It was very fun and nice.
Right.
And you'll sit at the desk in the middle of the gallery and you'll sign books.
Right.
And this is the opening.
That's the opening.
Yes.
Was there another, was the show, did the show extend or was it only for that one?
No, then there are like, I think they opened the book and they display the spreads.
Really?
On the wall.
Like they broke the spine.
Yes.
and
so for the entire month. But so he goes there in the beginning of each show, just assigning the books and talk and that's it. And they did like, they produced many of them, many shows were produced like that.
Wow.
And this was in the time where like 80s, there were not this kind of of art making was not really, even today, you don't have this, because in a gallery, in a commercial setup, like, you really need to fit the work in a certain way. So this was, I think, Ivan Karp was really fascinated by him, and he liked him, his humor, and like, and he just decided, I'm just gonna support this guy forever, and I'm gonna publish his books all the time, and he's gonna come here like maybe like every 2 years, and he just comes up with a book, and he just believed. He's this kind of gallery, he just believed.
Loyal.
Yes, and actually, if you see, so there are no art, production besides the book. There are no objects.
Yeah.
And she told me that total there are about 12 books.
Yeah.
But he has many more books.
Unmade.
Unmade that were never published.
Yeah.
There are much more stuff going on, and you see.
Yeah, I just flipped to a new page. It's called Worst Dressed Critic. And it says Max Kotzloff.
No, it's really funny. Some are like really funny, and some are like more nasty.
Yeah.
But in some of these pages, he even plays with this idea of copyright or like some.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting because he was doing the all. This one was not the case, but. When you're going to see the other books, this is like what this is about art forum.
Yeah, most predictable art journal. Art forum. Yeah.
It's not so far. It's kind of... So he was kind of... It looks like a fun thing.
Yeah.
Ironic, but it was really critical in some...
Always critical in the midst of the humor, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to fix...
This bind... Yeah.
I need to
work on this edition or this.
Yeah, I want to remove.
Beautiful piece.
It's fantastic. It's really. Let me see if I find another.
It's interesting that that's the primary coded. That's the only coded piece I know.
Most likable famous artist Roy Lichtenstein.
Yeah.
Let me see if we find something. Let's see what is. Tickets. Art journal, art in America.
Thickest art journal.
Least known genius artist, Gregory Gillespie. I don't know. I think this is, we can end up with this one. Most fervid friend of the working class, Carl André. we can elaborate much more there. Yeah, it's real, like this one, least visible wife of a dealer, Mrs. Robert Elkin. So yeah, you have smallest dealer in the world, Michael Sonneman. But so let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's see what's next.
So, what's next is... So this is the stuff I got from her. We're like the total...
Oh, right. From this.
I don't even know her name. But like even her. So we have Mortal Remains. That is like... So, the most thing... He was like keeping sending these letters all over the place, all these people. So with questionnaires and questions and stuff, and then some. I'm surprised so many people reply back, but I think the time was like different.
More generous, yeah. Yes. Less email. Then.
And it's interesting, especially I always was interested in mail art and stuff, and this is such. It's not. The studio practice of this is really based in male art.
Yeah.
The result is not male, but it's not like male art traditional.
Yeah.
Just in this time when you think about Ray Johnson and stuff.
Right.
Here it was just like using a production. And this guy did like an amazing work. So we have like all these surveys.
Yeah, so what Ricardo's flipping through right now is approximately half a dozen books that are all letter-sized, and the at least four of them are saddle-stitched, with a, you know, with under 36 pages. Then they're printed on a stipple, all white and aging yellow, but uncoated stipple of like an 80-pound, and each one maintains a very similar production characteristic, even though they're produced over the course of what might be like a decade in the 70s, from 75 to 78 to, what is this one? I can't tell right offhand. But one of them, which Ricardo has in his hands now, is Perfect Bound. What's that one about?
This is called Mortal Remains. So he had this
Whoa, Allison Knowles.
Yeah, so he had like, he started to send all these questions. It's like to all these artists in like in US.
Yeah.
Like in case we have Allison Knowles, Mike Kelly, Billy T. Johns, Douglas Ubler. And it's interesting because now when this is such a interesting book, because when one of these artists die,
yeah,
the MoMA blog, they mm-hmm. like to put
post yeah.
of this letter. And this is about, the question was like this: where would you like your body or its remains to be spent the rest of eternity if a monument or marker were to be placed to indicate the site of your remains? What would it be, and what would it say? Is there anything in particular you'd like to wear or take with you? And so he sent all these questions to all these artists.
What did Allison Knowles respond, for example?
Allison Knowles says, I shall be cremated and buried in the Knowles plot of the Sag Harbor Cemetery. I'll not take anything along with me, nor I care what I wear for the trip. Oh. So, you see, let me see another one. Which one? Jenny Holzer.
Okay.
The body remains she wants to spend next to her. My grandmother, among many generations of her family, had a passing thought of using my pelvis or other bones in a piece, but decided not. The second question is if they want a monument or like some marker.
Yeah.
And she said no, she just wants the name and the dates. And then what she would like to take with her, only a good book. And Allen Greensberg, he just put like seeing closed poems. let me see. It's like,
I say there's probably about 100 pages in this book.
Yeah.
Of hand.
Pauline Oliveras.
Yeah.
Adrian Piper.
What does Adrian say?
Adrian says, I want my body cremated and the ashes scattered over the ocean on Cape Cod.
It's very matter of fact.
Yvonne Reiner. She wants the ashes, her ashes, scattered wherever my companion wishes. She doesn't believe in monuments and she doesn't want to take nothing with her. Dorothy Rockburn.
Yeah.
She just says Spring Cemetery, Long Island. My name plus still no. Something Grace. Yeah, it's kind of
this is a beautiful book.
Martha Rosler. I want to be mummified or wax cast or put in the cafeteria cabinet with Jeremy Bentham at Cambridge, Oxford. I would like to hear my intellectual football with me when I go. It's kind of strange, especially because many of these guys are still alive.
Yeah.
But you have a feeling.
Well, what does Bud Spector say? Oh, that's very long.
It's very long. Ashes in a lake will be nice. Look, I went to a lecture by George Luis Borges once, and someone in the audience asked him how he would like to die, to be remembered. After a long silence, he said, I would like to write a sentence, maybe, or a paragraph so well crafted that whenever that moment of consciousness occurred in the future, it would have to be described with my words, even if my name was forgotten. I stood up and stated, "You mean like the cliché?" Exactly, Borges laughed. So, yeah, it's really... and then Lawrence Winner. I think Lawrence Winner is a good one. This is like William Wegman. She is good because he did a drawing.
Oh, yeah.
He has it's kind of a cliff, but in a form of a face. And it's called Classical Deal Marble Cliff. Well, it seems, I don't understand. But Lawrence Winner, he replies, "I don't care. Was never over life found. I really don't care. Was never over life found on my body, but I wouldn't mind the manner put somewhere that I should say Lawrence dead." Between parentheses. And this looks like one of his works. So, Jackie Windsor. Yeah, many. It's really...
That's a beautiful book.
Yeah, it's a really... I think it also has Mike Kelly there.
Yeah. I wonder where he tracked down all these addresses.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think
the time was different.
Yeah.
They were like all galleries. They were sending...
Yeah.
Mail, invitation stuff. Today, this doesn't happen. Because with the internet and stuff, there are no more kind of invitations. Or if you are a big gallery, you still are doing this, but usually... So maybe he just got all this address from his galleries.
Yeah. Whoa, okay, I have to read Michelle Stewart's. "I would like my ashes placed in a breadfruit container that then would be placed on the brow of a sailing ship along with the contained ashes of my best dog, the deceased bull terrier Gordon, a course set to sail the southern hemisphere of the Pacific Ocean, passing every island in Polynesia, including the isles in Cantadas and New Zealand, for as long as the stars will mark the way." Oh my God.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know how the people they're gonna, it's these books are interesting to look at them, you need to handle them.
Yeah, of course.
And spend time, because they are, it's really about all these details you keep finding. So,
Futile project we have here.
I don't know if we are really trying to convince the people that are listening us. This is really
good. No, we're not being generous to the work.
I guess not, because we are let's see. Because I think this is much more interesting what we are doing.
Okay, what's next?
So this is... We have more. Actually, this is another one. Observation and scholarship, examination for art historians, museum directors, artists, dealers, and collectors. It comes with a survey.
Oh, yeah. So on page 4, there's A, B, C, or D answers to three different questions.
Exactly.
A question, for instance, would be, what operation is being performed in blank painting? And then you're supposed to answer one of four answers.
It's like a test. So, and
then, many pages of tests all asking similar questions about famous pieces of art. Oh, wow.
And I think this is also kind of, because he was a teacher.
Yeah.
So it's really linked with his practice as a teacher.
Yes, yeah, standardized testing about
yeah
contemporary art. But then the answers are in the back.
Yeah, and oh, the wow answers are in the back.
This page is beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really good, but it's kind of, because this is 1975,
yeah,
so, because like, today it's very kind of much more common talking about this education kind of relationship with arts and stuff, and how like, our schools, you know, how this kind of educational, how is that the name?
Beautiful, simple little book. 32 pages, yeah. Great.
No, but it's just a little bit, what I think is like today's, it's, there are so much hype about education in arts and like artists playing with this.
Yeah, right.
And like using educational materials to do stuff. And
yeah.
Like, and it's, this guy was doing this in 75.
Yeah.
So before we having like PhDs in
yeah
art,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
research artists and
yeah
stuff, this guy was really doing something really special.
Oh yeah.
And it's, there was, he couldn't have any parallel at the time, to create like some, so he could like write about him, or like there are, I don't know anyone who's been like writing about this guy, like
right
as an academic or
no,
like,
I don't know anything either.
There are like
yeah
Roberta Smith did like a very nice
obituary
for
yeah
him, but it's, and there are some people, art, the thing is like mostly artists know about him, but
yeah
it's, and it stops there.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is like he's, because it doesn't, he didn't produce any kind of product, like object.
Yeah.
So there are no money
in,
to,
but the book collectors of course love this stuff. They're the ones.
Yeah,
that,
but you cannot get them.
Yeah.
So it's like I kind of almost wanna
help them, yeah, in a way too. Like Christoph Schifferle wouldn't, is trying so hard to get these from us, yeah.
But it's like, it's kind of, I want to go and meet with her, his
yeah
daughter.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like,
see what we could do.
I think
is
she
lives
in California.
She's in California. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but actually, at the time when I asked about this to the Ivan Karp widow,
yeah,
she said, I had a daughter. You're not going to have any chance.
Yeah,
it's
right,
going
right,
to be
right
very difficult.
Right.
So I don't know what the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe she'll be like about 40, 50s.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is a beautiful copy of this next one. Also 8.5 by 11, saddle stitch, like 64 pages, black, 1/1. What's the
yeah
title?
So
what's the title?
National Architects Preference Survey. So it comes with a question to all these architects. And the question is, if you were to advise students of architecture to see one significant structure in the world that would be the most inspiring and instructive for their future careers, which structure would you recommend? So John Lawrence Daw, he says, Place Pompidou, because it is outrageous, yet inspires and delights, is bold, it holds one spellbound, and two, it is a result of a competition.
Yeah.
So this is like, they have like all these weird questions of, you wanna read some?
That's a nice book. What's next?
So next we have,
oh yeah,
Observations, Protection, and Lamentations of Museum Guards Throughout the World. And this is very good. This is almost, it's institutional critique.
Yeah, this is the, this
it's
is the
really
one.
And once again we are in 78.
Yeah.
So it's really long because I have all these questions.
Yeah.
So it's like the questions are like, how long have you been chief security officer of your institution? This is like he's asking to a guy in Kelumpur, West Malaysia. He works at the Museum Negara Lumpur, Malaysia. I don't even know how he found these people. So he has like all these questions like, how many people are under your command? What are your working hours? What are your subordinate cars, more frequent complaints? This is kind of crazy because it's like doing sociology, anthropology, having like, it's really out. And he was doing this really in a time they were like, you cannot compare this with nothing at the time.
Yeah.
So it's really out of time. I don't know if he was presenting this in an art gallery, but... And he was friends of...
He's obviously aware of Asher and some other people making work like this at the time, but...
But
being stuck in being stuck in,
they are even earlier than Asher.
Yeah, Saint Paul.
So it's kind of because Asher comes after this. Mm,
no, he's making it at the same time.
Really?
Yeah.
So like we are in 1970 here.
Oh, that one's early. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is like he's in this idea. He started to do these books really early.
The introduction of this book says, this survey was conducted over a period of 2 years, 1976 to 1977, during which time I sent questionnaires to the chief security officers of 1,200 museums in 125 countries. The percentage of response to time of publication is 46%. Translations were undertaken by et al. The selection of material included in this publication was made solely on the basis of completion of response. I would like to acknowledge my many debts to the gallerist for his assistance in the preparation, execution, and editing of this survey. And this book is 80 pages.
Yeah.
86 pages.
And this is the last one I think I have from him. It's called Political Art Movement, Religious Art Movement.
Yeah.
All this. And so he sends a question, sends a letter with some inquiry, and then they reply to him. Let me see. So he sends a question, like, imagine. He sends a question for University of Hawaii in Honolulu. And so he says, like, dear President Hamilton, your university has been selected for inclusion in my academic art movement. I would like you to... is good, the best of your ability, the following proposal. Paint your student body with acrylics of varying hues. Press the paint students against surfboards covered with watercolor paper and plant the boards upright on any street lacking palm trees. Please reply at your earliest convenience. And then the actually was not the president, was like someone... some secretary is like, thank you for your suggestion. We find that when the students smile, as they do on occasion, it cracks the acrylic paint and everything comes unglued. But thanks anyway. So some of them kind of engage with this craziness.
Yeah.
And some say no, some say yes. Like, let me just see. So when they come, no response, some are like, no response. Place your art museum and Marqua Art Library on one end of a seesaw. Hire a herd of elephants to jump on its opposites end so that the building and their staffs land in Astabula, Ohio, and remain there for 1 week dispensing knowledge. Repeat the process until every American city of 10,000 inhabitants or less has been visited. So their answer is like, thank you for your letter.
This is from Princeton.
This is, this is for Princeton.
Yeah.
Thank you for your letter of December 1st and your note. I regret that it's not possible for me to comply with your request.
So, sincerely. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have, this is kind of a...
This is a larger volume, huh? Yeah, wow.
Yeah, because it comes with all this... and it's funny because some of them, this is like, I did not receive your first letter. This is an answer for the second letter. It seems like he was like sending one or two, three times these inquiries until they respond. Construct this one for... Actually, this is for the Honorable Hubert Humphrey at United States Senate, Washington. Construct with the help of painters, sculptors, and architects a replica of Noah's Ark in the tidal basin. Print in Gothic script the legislation you have authored to subsidize the arts on its term. Then fill the ark with aspirins, mustard, plasters, and geritol, and send it to all English-speaking countries. I have greatly enjoyed your letter of April 1 and your proposal for me to execute under your political art movement. I probably enjoy some of the other letters which you also enclose more than my own. With best wishes. Yeah, so it's really... So this was all about the sending to politicians.
Yeah.
House of Representatives. Enlist. So for the House of Representatives in April 1st of 1971, he sent this letter to Charles Dix. Enlist the aid of Black Caucus to unroll a ream of watercolor paper from the Lincoln Memorial throughout every ghetto in America. Ask ghetto residents to illustrate their grievance on the paper. Next, paste the paint roll to the house walls as a significant example of folk art. You see, there are a lot of things going on here.
Right.
This is like 40 years, more than 40 years ago.
Amazing.
It's not...
Ricardo, have you ever seen this one that's of the same format that's called Museum Piece?
Ah, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, that has the...
That is a good one, too.
It's all the photos of loading docks.
Yeah.
Of museums.
I couldn't get that one.
Yeah, this one. I have this one. I should have brought it. I'm sorry.
It's a good... this is...
It's a good edition. Okay, you have another...
No, this is not.
Okay, the one... I did bring one, though. Which is very confusing.
Yeah, this is... I keep seeing this because this is very easy to get.
Yeah, this is the cheapest one available.
But I never thought this was from him.
Let's see, I got this from shipping to Flint Jameson Standard 2011. How much did I spend on this?
But this is...
Like $6.
Because this doesn't come even in his bibliography.
Yeah, but when you read the bio, it's the same guy.
It's the same guy?
Where's yeah.
The bio?
Because
there is another thing.
Yeah, show me what you have.
There is a guy, he might know a lot about him.
Oh, you have a... Okay, the book that I just passed to Ricardo is called Musical Instruments in Art from Lerner Publications Company, Minneapolis... Minnesota.
Yeah, so it's the same.
Yeah.
It's many things in common.
Yeah, copyright 1966. One of the earliest pieces.
This is
exciting. Whoa, you have this one. Was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he obtained his education in his native
it's
city.
The same.
Yeah.
It's so
He's
strange.
Beautiful. Look at that.
Look, this one.
Yeah.
You put this together.
Okay, so this is a folder. Like 8.5 by 11. So this is what... This is like a piece of ephemera that he put together.
And it seems he has the most luck ever. He found on eBay the entire set.
No way.
And this is... He did this publication out of that. And he has the entire set. Someone just was collecting it.
Yeah, okay.
So there are 11 books. And you see...
Yeah, there's all 11 of them. Okay.
And at the time he had like some pages he did look, this is the observation. And
okay, so I'm just going to read the titles of the 11 books.
You see, it's the same guy, you're right.
Yeah.
1931, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
When this is from... Yeah, this is so strange.
So most people are saying that the first book is 1973, not this 67 book that I brought, Musical Instruments and Art. The first book is 1973, The Olympics of Art, which we already talked about. And then number 70, in 1975, Museum Piece.
It's
in 75, Opinions of Working People Concerning the Arts. In 1977, Observations and Scholarship Examination for Art Historians, Museum Directors, Artists, Dealers, and Collectors, Part 2. In 78, Observation, Protestations, and Lamentations of Museum Guards Throughout the World. In 78, also, Destiny of a Name. 79, National Architects Preference Survey. 82, Reincarnation Study. 92, Questions About the Arts You May Never Have Thought to Ask. And 95 is the Mortal Remains book, which we went through.
I know, and he put this together. He was, it's really nice.
Yeah. Wow, this is beautiful. This is so. This is his CV here.
Yeah.
Look at this. All of the shows are at the OK Harris Gallery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he worked together with the gallery to do compile the CV.
Ah. Okay. Yeah.
So they were nicer to him.
Okay. Should I read this from Roberta Smith?
Yeah. And he also put this.
Yeah, New York Times on March 10th. Was a professor and quirky conceptual artist whose projects involved taking polls, died on March 3rd in Pittsburgh. He was 73 and lived in St. Paul, Minnesota. The cause was cancer, said even Ivan C. Karp of the O.K. Harris Gallery in Soho, his longtime representative. Born in Pittsburgh in 1931, earned a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree from Carnegie Mellon University in 1956 and a Ph.D. in Art History from University of Pittsburgh in 1963. After working briefly in the Department of Education at the National Gallery of National Gallery of Art in Washington, he taught at McAllister College in St. Paul until he learned of his illness in January. In 1969, with conceptual art gaining steam, the artist began a series of letter-writing campaigns that spoofed the movement while spreading its ideas and gathering interesting information. With his cultural art movement, he sent outlandish proposals to 25 museum directors, suggesting, for example, that Sherman Lee, director of the Cleveland Museum of Art, drop by parachute 1,000 works of Asian art from the museum's collection one at a time onto the state of Alabama. Mr. Lee replied that since art was in the mind of the beholder, he had mentally performed this idea. In subsequent work, surveyed film directors, prison wardens, labor leaders, religious figures, travel agents, celebrities, and famous chefs about their art preferences. He also produced a series of baseball cards using artist faces. Work was included in many books and exhibitions surveying conceptual art. On a nearly annual basis, he tackled the response of his surveys to the walls of Mr. Karp's gallery, mounting 29 exhibitions from 1970 to 2004. He was survived by his daughter, Catherine, and two sisters, Norma and Teresa, and two brothers, James and Joseph, all in the Pittsburgh area.
So we need to meet Catherine.
Yeah, let's meet Catherine. That's what's next.
It's like the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a nice way to end this conversation about him.
Yeah, of course.
Reading Roberta Smith.
She's always the last word, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But you see, this guy, it's like, it's ridiculous. This is the only publication about
him. Yeah. Thanks, Ricardo.
Thanks for coming here.